This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. James McBride was a successful jazz saxophonist before he ever became a successful author. He still plays music, but there's a much better chance you know him from his books. His memoir, The Color of Water, a black man's tribute to his white mother, spent about 100 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. After that, he jumped into historical fiction with Miracle at St. Anna, a World War II novel that Spike Lee turned into a movie. His latest, his third novel, is The Good Lord Bird. And in a way, it combines all of McBride's strengths. It's historical fiction, it's memoir, and it's probably the funniest book you'll ever read about slavery and a murderous zealot. It tells the story of an enslaved child who gets caught up with John Brown's gang of abolitionists in the 1850s. It just won the National Book Award, and James McBride has been touring the country talking about The Good Lord Bird and playing gospel music with his band. James McBride and The Good Lord Bird Band. Hey, good cross-promotional branding. Welcome to Studio 360.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Congratulations on this award, first of all.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a nice little ride for me. I went up there with my napkin in my hand. I was eating my apple tart, and then they announced the
not book. Thomas Pynchon, not George Saunders, not Jhumpa Lahiri, but James McBride.
Good old James McBride. What do you think? Old Baldy.
And you've never won anything, maybe, a prize, but you've had a pretty charmed writing life. I mean, your first book, this huge bestseller, your first novel gets made into a big movie. This one wins this big award. I mean, you're batting, you know, a high average.
Well, I've been blessed. That's certainly, I mean, that's one way of saying it. And I'm sure, you know, when baseball players say, they say, how'd you hit the home run? And the guy goes, I've been blessed. And the guy goes, yeah, but, you know, what happened was it was a high-hanging curve. But the fact is, you know, I've worked very hard at my craft. I'm 56. I've been in it a long time. I'm very conscious about the quality of my work as opposed to the volume, so mm-hmm. I don't turn out a lot of books, but I try to produce books that I would read myself.
Were you always hankering to write and publish?
No, not at all. I mean, I was, when I did The Color of Water, I was working as a musician. I wrote that book in buses and vans and, you know, wherever I was, you know. But when I was, I guess it was in my early 30s, I had to figure out who my mother was, and I realized I couldn't figure out who I was until I figured out who she was. And since she never talked about her past at all, I had to go find that out.
And your mother, she's like a fictional character. Polish Jewish rabbi's daughter comes to America, marries a black guy in the 1940s, raises these 12 children, sends them all to college. I mean, it's just...
Well, I mean, it's unbelievable, but, you know, we weren't deprived. You know, we were happy.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't like a bunch of mulattoes staggering through life trying to decide whether to, you know, eat matzo balls or fried chicken. You know, we were happy people, you know.
So. Well, and in New York, you can eat matzo balls and fried chicken.
Yeah, we couldn't, we were lucky with just to get the fried chicken. And yeah. If the matzo balls were there, we'd ate them too. You know, I mean, I used to have a guidance counselor who used to say, you know, you're looking for something. And I'd say to myself, yes, I am, food.
I want to talk about your new award-winning book, The Good Lord Bird. The story is told in the voice of a 12-year-old slave named Henry Shackelford. John Brown takes him in thinking he's a 12-year-old girl and starts calling him Little Onion. Would you read from the moment when Onion and John Brown have their first real interaction? They've just escaped the Kansas town where Onion's father has been accidentally killed, and Brown's trying to comfort the little boy, whom he thinks is a little girl, with the various knickknacks in his pockets.
Okay. Be delighted to read with my trusty assistant, Adam Falk, on piano. Come on, man. I'm sorry. All right. Here, the old man produced the last from his pocket, an odd, long, black and white feather, and threw the feather in my head, tucked it right in my curly, napped hair, then paused a moment, reflecting, staring at that feather in my head. Feather of a good lord bird, he said. Now that's special. I don't feel bad about it neither, giving my special thing to you. The Bible says, take that which is special from thine own hand and giveth to the needy, and you moveth in the Lord's path. That's the secret, little onion. But just so you know, you ought not to believe too much in heathen things, and don't stretch the great ruler's word too much. You stretch it here, stretch it there. Before you know it, it's full-out devilment. We being fighters of his righteous holy word, we has allowed a few indulgences, like charms and so forth. But we ought not to take too much advantage. You understand? Well, I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but being that he was a lunatic, I nodded my head, yes.
That was James McBride reading from The Good Lord Bird, accompanied on piano by Adam Falk. So what made you want to write a novel starring John Brown and this fictional kid?
Well, many books have been written about him, but I wanted to write a book that people like me would read. Books that are written about, like during slave time, that are written about people who were crusaders for freedom. I mean, these people, it's that like these people never went to the bathroom or anything. They didn't ever, you know, they never smelled. They didn't have to brush their teeth. And those kinds of books where, you know, with the thunder from the sky is coming, you know, they're not realistic.
Yeah, this people smell here. there's a lot of grit and down dirty stuff in this book. The other thing that books about slavery and John Brown and the lead up to the Civil War aren't is funny, which this regularly is. It's not exclusively a comic novel, but it's, as we heard there, this has a sense of humor.
Well, yeah. I mean, I come from a funny family, and I think I like to laugh, and I like to read stuff that makes me laugh. And I don't want to write a book that's depressing. And, you know, books cost a lot of money. You know, you want to – if people are going to invest that kind of money in your work, they should at least be moved to some semblance of happiness, even if briefly.
Onion, this kid, provides a lot of comic relief throughout the book. But he's not totally charming. He is stubborn. He can be obnoxious. He doesn't want to work hard if he can avoid it. Where did you get this character and this voice?
Well, I mean, you just described me. So maybe, you know, there's some parts of me in there. I just liked the fact that this character is filled with ambivalence, doesn't really want to be free. He's happy where he was.
Liked his slave master.
He had a good relationship with his slave master. Had a nice warm bed to sleep in. Got all he wanted to eat and so forth. And didn't really know any better. And unfortunately, I'm sure there were many, many blacks who were like that. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't wake up thinking of freedom. But all of us wake up thinking of winning the lottery or, you know, quitting our job. It doesn't mean we're going to do it.
Yeah. Now, the fact that everybody thinks he's a girl and he dresses as a girl provides a lot of some like it hot comedy. But what made you decide to have this gender confusion?
Well, first of all, I didn't feel I was good enough to write about a real girl. The other part was that him having to play a girl just created a lot of comical situations. And I, you know, if it was one thing that writers talk about when the mic's not on is they talk about sex and all those nasty things they're not supposed to be talking about. And so I just thought it was funny to kind of find some blue material to get. And I thought this would really be a good way to play with that within the framework of this story.
Mm-hmm. One of his charming parts, this kid, is that he sings a lot and he can't wait to break into song. Again, like you, I guess. I mean, you're a musician. Was that fun, making up his music?
Yes, indeed it was. And the effect of music on the pro-slavers in particular was always something I really liked because he would sing a song and these big, mean, six-gun shooting, you know, pro-slavers would bust into tears and, you know, ask for their ma and stuff like that.
Well, on that note, talking about music, should we have some music? Will you play?
Of course.
What are you going to play?
This song is called Cinnamon.
Cinnamon,
where you gonna run to?
Where you gonna run to?
Where you gonna run to?
Cinnamon,
where you gonna run to?
Judgment Day,
Judgment Day.
Cinnamon,
where you gonna run to?
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 Judgment Day,
Judgment Day.
After a while,
after a while,
it'll all be over.
All be over.
After a while,
after a while,
the sun will shine.
All of my trouble
will be over.
Where you gonna?
the trees, and the trees will be burned. You better run to the sea, and the sea will be boiling. You better run to the trees, and the trees will be burning. Who are you gonna run to?
Where are you gonna run to?
Oh, judgment day.
Was James McBride and the Good Lord Bird Band playing Sinner Man. James McBride on saxophone, Keith Robinson on guitar, Trevor Exter on bass, Adam Falk on piano, and Showtime Brooks on drums. Now, the Good Lord Bird, the book, is about this time and this man, John Brown, in the 1850s, but it's also very much about the music of the era. What was it, the spiritual music that led you to John Brown?
No. That occurred after. Because one of the things that was really interesting about John Brown was that he was deeply religious. And he was seen as a nut. You know, he's still seen as a nut.
Yeah, and you don't portray him as not a nut entirely.
Yes, well, he was kind of nutty. Yes, indeed. but he was powered by his sense of religiosity, by his sense of religion. And
as abolitionism so widely was.
And I'm glad it was.
Yeah.
And that religion is powered by music.
The Good Lord Bird has a lot of deeply pious religious characters like John Brown, but also some sinners. Some of those sinners are redeemable. But then there's Frederick Douglass, who is not depicted as the saintly figure we know from history, but as this pervy, pompous drunk. I wouldn't be surprised if you're getting some negative reaction to that depiction.
Yeah, I've gotten a little bit of backlash about that. I mean, it's a book of caricature. So if people want to read about the real Frederick Douglass, they're welcome to read another book.
Right.
But it's true, and I should point out that Frederick Douglass did have a black wife and a white mistress, and they lived in the same house at the same time. Frederick Douglass was a friend of John Brown, and John Brown did ask him to come to Harper's Ferry with him, and Frederick Douglass said, "I'm sorry, that I will not do." But he did, you know, he physically and literally fought against slavery. But he was also a man who, like me, would not have done it. I would not have gone with John Brown during that time. I just don't have the heart. You know, the 19 men who did were unconsciously brave. You know, 15 white guys and the four black guys, you have to remember that they must have been just out of their minds. Because when you read the accounts of what happened to these fellas, it breaks your heart, and it also makes you admire what this country is capable of. America, we do a lot of things wrong, but we do more things right. And I think John Brown and his band of men are indications of this. They're proof of that.
James McBride and the Good Lord Bird Band, thank you all for being here today. And before I let you go altogether, will you play us out? End the show?
Yeah, we're gonna play out with some jam. All right.
You can hear another song from James McBride's Good Lord Bird Band at Studio360.org, where you can also hear my full conversation with James McBride.